We're in a series called Thinking Clearly. It's looking at the things in life that we spend a lot of energy and time on that occupy our lives so that we can refocus ourselves on what we would, how we would approach it as followers of Jesus. So let me just start by asking you, shout out some things that stress you out. Work. Money. Kids. Diet. Amen. What else? Traffic. Health. Sick kids. Politics. Okay, now, see how quickly I raised it back up? Sometimes we get so absorbed by so many things that there are to worry about, we begin worrying about something that's not there. Take, for instance, the man who found himself on a country road at nighttime when his tire blew out. He went to check his jack, and in the trunk of the car, his jack wasn't there. So he thought, what am I going to do? It was dark. He looked around him. He couldn't see anything. Then finally, way off in the distance, up on the hill, he saw the light of a farmhouse. He said, I guess I'll have to walk there, see if I can get some help. He started walking there. On the way, he went, what if the guy's not home? Yeah, this is a long walk. Well, what if he's home, but he doesn't have a jack? He got closer and closer as he's walking, thinking. And he goes, well, what if he has a jack, but he won't let me use it? Well, finally he got to the house. He'd worked himself up so badly that when the farmer answered the door saying, what would you like? He said, you can keep your old darn jack. Stress is the reason for 2/3 of the visits to a physician, according to scientists. Isn't that amazing? It's the number one leading cause of coronary artery diseases. It contributes to cancer, accidents, respiratory diseases, besides many other things. Stress aggravates hypertension, insomnia, diabetes, herpes, multiple sclerosis, etc., etc., etc. It's amazing how much effect stress has on our lives. Stress leads to marriage breakups, family fights, road rage, suicides, and violence. It might start seeming like something simple, but it escalates in us. And have you ever had anyone tell you sweetly in a nice voice that stress is simply desserts spelled backward? That's all you have to do is think about desserts, and stress dissipates. But the truth is, stress continues to plague our lives. In the 60s, one of the top five stressors would have been atomic annihilation, nuclear annihilation. That's no longer on the list. According to the latest studies, financial problems are the number one stressors in life. Whether it's lack of money or getting buried under credit card debt or houses that are upside down, all the escalating costs of education, all these things continue to pile up on us in financial. One man said, I've got so many troubles that if anything bad happens today, it'll be 2 weeks before I can worry about it. You ever feel like that? My list is full. I'm done. I can't take any more stress. Workplace stress is the next important one, whether it's working for a difficult boss or fear of the inability to progress in the organization, or whether it's a fear of losing your place in the organization. Studies continue to show that more people die from worry than from work. This should come as no surprise, however, because the law of averages is in their favor. At any given moment, there are more people worrying than there are people working. I don't know about that. The number three on the list is personal relationships. And I'm going to spend a little bit of later time on that. But do you remember the cartoon of that lovable, alcoholic, working class Englishman, Andy Capp? You know, he spent more time trying to figure out ways to get out of work. And he is the exact image of how to de-stress in unhealthy ways. But one cartoon had Andy Stress coming home arm in arm with a friend, singing as they were about to pass out after leaving the pub, "Dear old pals we are." And as they get into the house and say goodbye, Andy comes in and yells to his wife, "Yoo-hoo, it's me." And then he passes out on the floor. His wife walks over to him and covers him with a blanket. And Andy says, "Thanks, sweetheart." His wife says, "Don't mention it." And then she turns to the audience and says, "Never take your problems to bed with you." Yeah, it's not the way to handle personal relationship issues, but they're there. Number four on the list is health. Heart diseases, hypertension, problems with eyesight, sugar afflict many people, become a major stress in life. Maintaining good health, reducing weight, increasing weight, being able to lead healthy lifestyles, all of these things contribute to concerns and worry. There was a pastor that was once visiting a man on death row. The minister established a good relationship with the inmate, and when it came time for the criminal to be executed, they had developed such a relationship that the man asked that the minister be present and walk with him. And as the man approached the prison, being a good pastor, he felt the inadequacy of his task. He said, "What do I say to a man who's about to die? I have no idea. Goodbye just doesn't seem right. See you later seems a bit presumptuous." And he couldn't find the right words, so he stood beside the man in tense silence, stressing out as they walked down the hall. And finally, as the man was about to go into the room, he said, "More power to you." Not a good thing to face the electric chair. Any rate. Number five on the list are irritants. Those are those little things that intrude on our day. The things we don't plan for but come up. The extra practices that we've got to get our kids to on two different sides of the city. The invitations to be at three different parties on the same night, all of which are important to us. The things that just continue to work at us. And we all know the premier verse that reminds us in Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, "Do not worry about anything." Right. Paul says, "But in prayer, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ." That is a promise from God. But it doesn't tell us how we reduce it. It just simply gives us the assurance that if we stop, take a breath and say, "Thank you, God is there." So I chose another scripture passage that I think is a bit more instructive in Paul to talk about this today. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 25, we're increasing the pericope. Pericope is any section of scripture you look at theologically. All the way to chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. So it's a little longer than's in the bulletin, but that's what happens when a preacher studies during the week. The word of the Lord. "So then, putting away falsehood, let us all speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another." "Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their hands so as to do something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to all who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. May God bless the reading of his word. Will you pray with me? Lord, as we look at this passage and our understanding of the stresses we carry, may your Spirit guide us. May we hear and wrestle with what you want us to hear and wrestle with. To that end, take the words of my mouth, meditations and thoughts of our hearts and minds. For Lord, you are our rock, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. Interesting thing about stress. It is not something caused on the outside. It's something that's caused on the inside. When we get under stress, we blame our circumstances, but they are not the cause of our stress. You know that because you could put the two different people in the exact same situation, and one could stress out and one could be perfectly calm. True? If that's true, then stress becomes something we take on because of our perception of what's going on. If I told you that an atomic weapon was launched right at the center of Newhall and would be hitting in 15 minutes, and you believed me, it would elevate your stress level. There's no way to escape. However, it's in a perception that you have. It's in the way that you allow the circumstance or event to get you. And that's why this Ephesians passage is so significant. It tells us how to preoccupy our perspectives in life. It gives us a direction so that our lives are free. You see, the truth is, on the list, many of the things that I read simply have one antidote, and that's over and over and over again repeated in Scripture, and it's trust God. Now, I'm not telling you it's easy to do, and I'm not telling you that I've mastered it. In fact, I think preachers sometimes are the worst victims of stress. As I said last week, there's so many situations where we get ourselves to feeling the inadequacy of what we're doing. And it's easy to look at our position and think, are we being hypocritical? But not if, as I said last week, we allow God to work through us. It's not us ourselves. And if we as individual Christ followers believe the word of God, if it is true what is said, then we live opening our hearts and lives to its advice. In a stressful situation, we de-stress by remembering that God has us in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. And what can they do to us if God loves us? Those are Paul's great words at the end of the 8th chapter of Romans. What can anyone do to us? Neither death nor affliction, nor anything can ultimately harm us. And he lived by that stress. By that standard of fighting stress. That said, I think there are stresses that are inherent in our very daily life. We have stresses constantly to compromise that trust in God, don't we? We see a situation, we're under peer pressure, it's called, to teenagers. But it's equally true for adults, isn't it? I mean, do you remember the first time you were pressured to smoke a cigarette or maybe take a drink of alcohol or try drugs or be promiscuous or let somebody cheat off your test? At those points, every one of us either foundationally say, no, God is trustworthy and I don't need to stress to the point of succumbing to peer pressure, or I feel absolutely inadequate and need these people to believe in me. More seriously, when someone gives us a change for a $100 bill when we've only given them a $20, happened this week. Person that told me this said I corrected the clerk, and she looked back under there. She said, I don't know why I thought that was a $100 bill. He walked away and thought, maybe God was telling me to take extra money. I need it right now. But the truth is, he said, that's not right. And I'll bet his subconscious mind was clear when he walked out. See, the problem is, have you ever found it in a situation where you're tempted by something to say really easily in your mind as you're approaching it, nobody's ever going to find out. Go ahead and do it. And then the moment that you do it, your mind shifts. It begins telling you everybody's going to find out. Everybody's going to know about this. I'm going to get caught. And what was at one point a temptation now becomes a stressor, because God tells us, trust me and do what's right. Do what's right in circumstances. If we trust God, Proverbs 10, people with integrity have firm footing, but those who follow crooked paths will slip and fall. That's what happens. We all know it. When we cross that line, there's something that kicks in that doesn't allow peace. Because we've given ourselves to something else in life. And so, we as people who follow God, even under situations of compromise, we're facing that, need to stand firm. And how much clearer and less our stress is if we live according to what is right. But we also have the stress of conflict. That's part of the family and part of those incidental things. You know, I'm going to offer some ideas that are from this passage to combat that. You know, when we're stressed in a conflict, the very first thing is a logical thing that makes no internal sense to us at all. And it is simply this: change your focus. When you're in a conflict with somebody and you're pushing to get your point across and they're pushing to get their point across, you need to stop and say, what are they trying to say? Now, it is so difficult to do. But it is so incredibly therapeutic. Paul stops with the Ephesians and he says, put away from you all bitterness, wrath, anger, wrangling, slander, together with malice. Be kind to one another. How can you do that when you're feeling angry and upset? You can change your focus. Now, many of you have heard of the Marquis of Queensberry rules. It was a code that was adopted and supported and promoted by the Marquis of Queensberry of rules to guide boxing. But someone came up with the Marquis of Queensberry's rules for conflict in relationships instead of in the boxing ring. And I think they're very promotive of lowering our stress. First of all, lower your defense. That means quit trying after the third time to explain your position. If they haven't heard it the first two times, they're not going to hear it the third time. In fact, what happens is in each situation, if you keep repeating it, they'll just keep repeating their situation louder. So lower the defense. Just say, all right. Then number two, focus on the problem, not on the person. How easily does our stress level go up when we say, oh, this person? Usually, it's the closest people to us. So our children, our spouses, our bosses at work, our colleagues, our friends, those that we trust, we berate the most. But they can get our dander up the highest, too. And so we need not only to lower our defenses, but we need to focus on the problem. What is the problem that together we need to solve here? Then number three, deal with one issue at a time. Have you ever tried to deal with an issue when another issue pops up and you bring up some old information and then it gets sidetracked onto this? And yeah, but because you did this, I remember when you did that. And then now we're over here on this issue and we've never solved this issue. And we can go on and on, chain linking. Deal with one issue at a time. Get past the words. Oftentimes, conflict, stress of conflict is about an emotion that's in us. It's about how we feel in a situation, much deeper than the words. So get past the words. And finally, number five, is the goal in the conflict is to understand, not to win. Now, if we approach life like that, we are parroting the very explanation that Paul gives the Ephesian church. Slow down with all the anger. Listen. Be kind to one another. Focus on the person. And care about them. Someone said, God gave you two ears and one mouth, so you should listen twice as much as you talk. And in all humility, to remember that we were once forgiven. Foundational for a Christian who deals with stress is to remember a God who forgave you. According to Romans, while we were still sinners. Not after you turned around and said, all right, God, I'm going to be good now. He says, while you were messing up, while you were doing the things you shouldn't be doing, God still loved you and forgave you and died for you. And as we accept that forgiveness, it's like bathing in the knowledge that we are God's. And stress can dissipate when you know you're a prince or a princess. When the God of the universe is your daddy. What's very fascinating about this passage is it's the only time Paul says, as God in I'll get it right this way. It's the only time that Paul says, be imitators of God. You see, in the Jewish world, to say that would have been equating exactly what they were suspicious of, that Christ is God. And then he goes on to make it firm. But it's the only time he dares to come out and say it. Be imitators of God because you're part of the family. Because as God forgave you in Christ, beloved children, live in love. If you want to know the greatest antidote to stress, the greatest antidote is to know whose we are and who we are. Princes and princesses of the King of the universe, who will one day come and rule all. We're promised that in Scripture. And when that happens, and some son of a gun cuts you off in either a shopping line or on the freeway, you can go, hey, my daddy's looking out for me. I don't need to worry. I don't need to get stressed about that. He'll take care of things. He'll take care of things. It doesn't mean we'll ever be relieved of stress. But it does mean that we are, as we trust and trust increases, stress decreases in our lives. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that you would continue to walk with us. As we live in stress so much of the time, Lord, help us to remember you. Lord, help us to remember to watch our words, our reactions, because really all the stress is a reaction to life. And help us to follow in the knowledge that your love is abundant for us. And help a wellspring of life and light to spring forth, even in places where stress can creep, because we know you love us and have a plan for us. Help us not to just hear this intellectually, but to meditate on it day and night, to let it seep into the very marrow of our bones, and create the responses of royal children. I pray this in your name, Lord. Amen.